Hello, we're studying the writings of the last generation in Hebrew. It's in the book Writings of Baal HaSulam. You can find it in the internet. You can download it. The last generation.
The writings of the last generation are something special that Baal HaSulam did not organize or stabilize them for publishing or for some contrasts or something. They basically remained to us as his writings that weren't organized in any special fashion. There are those that are a little bit more orderly and those that are less, pieces of paper of different types. We will learn that which we have in order to get an impression from it, because these things are very relevant, and we will try to connect them to what the world is going through. We are before us in this world, in this upcoming period of time, big changes in the world, meaning that what's happening in America, Europe, very meaningful changes that could influence the whole world. And definitely we too are also very closely connected to this. It's very delicate, the change. Any change that happens there happens here too. So from these last, the writings of the last generation, we can understand these matters more. The kind of changes, the fashion of these changes, how it's happening and how it influences us, our obligation in this towards all of humanity, what depends on humanity, how it will go through all these changes, or we can either be human beings that hold the destiny in our hands. Let's see what Baal HaSulam writes. Again, it's worthwhile for each of us should also write short things either in the book, on the sides of the paper, or on a paper that you have in front of you, because we will need these things. We're going to need to process these things well, to edit them, process them, and create more materials to go out to the broad public and explain what they're before, what changes are before them, what's the difference between going in this way or another. It's very important, and this is our fate, our destiny, and how we're going to deal with what's before us, and especially before the people of Israel, as these writings of the last generation are meant for us, since we are those who are drawn, Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator. All our friends in the world, Kli, who are drawn in this way, and we will actually have to lead humanity in the right direction. That's why we need to see how much we can nevertheless find here in these words and between the words, between the letters, some light that can come through us. Please.
The writings of the last generation, we're starting with the introduction. There's an allegory about friends who were lost in the desert, hungry and thirsty. One of them had found a settlement filled abundantly with every delight. He remembered his poor brothers, but he had already drawn far off from them and did not know where they were. What did he do? He began to shout out loud and blow the horn. Perhaps his poor hungry friends would hear his voice, approach him, and come to that abundant settlement that is filled with every delight. So is the matter before us. We have been lost in the terrible desert, along with all of humanity. And now we have found a great, abundant treasure, namely the books of Kabbalah in the treasure. They satisfy our yearning souls and fill us abundantly with lushness and contentment. We are satiated, and there is more yet. We remember our friends who are left hopelessly in the terrible desert. There is a great distance between us, and the words cannot bridge it. For this reason, we have set up this horn to blow out loud, so that our brothers might hear and draw near and be as happy as we.
Meaning there's a chance that from this story that he is opening for us, we will make our destiny easier, we will advance in the more correct way towards that goal, that state we're supposed to go to, and therefore there is a need in his writing this and us reading this and learning it. Yes.
No, our brothers, our flesh, that the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah is a knowledge of how the world came down from its elevated heavenly place until it reached our ignoble state. This reality was necessary, as the end of an act is in the initial thought, and his thought acts instantaneously. For he needs no tools to work with as we do. Thus we were emanated in infinity, in utter perfection, from the start, and from there we came to this world. It is therefore very easy to find all the future corrections which are destined to come from the perfect worlds that preceded us. Through it, we know how to correct our ways henceforth, like man's advantage over the beast, where the spirit of the beast descends, meaning sees only from itself onwards, without the intellect or wisdom to look into the past so as to correct the future. Man's advantage over it is that the spirit of man ascends into the past and looks into the past as one looks in the mirror and sees one's flaws so as to correct them. Similarly, the mind sees what it has been through and corrects its future conducts. Thus, beasts do not evolve. They are still in the same state they were created in, for they do not have, as man does, the mirror by which to see how to correct things and gradually evolve. Man develops day by day until his merit is secured and sensed, and he will ride on high planets. But all this refers to the natures outside of us, the nature of our surrounding reality, our food, mundane affairs. For this, the natural mind is quite sufficient. However, internally, in ourselves, although we do evolve some, we evolve and improve by being pushed from behind through suffering and bloodshed. It is so because we have no tactic by which to obtain a mirror to see inside man, which they had in past generations. It is even more so regarding the interior of the souls and the world, and how they came to such dreadful ruin as today's, where we have no safety in our lives. We will be subject to all sorts of slaughter and death in the coming years, and we all admit that they have no counsel to prevent it.
Questions, if you want to ask, and if not, then I can just add one thing, which is the more we develop, and the more we can be drawn ahead, It depends on how we understand our development backwards, meaning as much as we develop. Therefore, where do Kabbalists start to explain things for us? Know that prior to the emanated being emanated and so on, from that moment onwards, we study. Why? Because you can't know how to advance onwards unless it is out of all the stages we've been through so far, which explain to us the purpose of creation from its beginning to the end, is explained to us. The process that we have been through, it explains to us how we need to progress onwards, where we come from, what matter we're made of, what qualities, what's in our hands, and so on. We learn everything from the past to the future. That's why the problem of humanity is that it doesn't know where we're from and what we are. Therefore, every person discovers the world and thinks that he knows where he is and how he exists and under what set of rules he exists and what reality, what operates on him. That's the whole thing. And other than that, we need to understand that other than Yashar El, those people who get an awakening to the purpose of creation, all the rest are similar to beasts, even though they have that inclination in them, but it's in them still concealed. That's why they don't have any inclination towards it, any connection with the right development. Rather, they think, however we develop, however we live, we live. And what's beyond that? What's the benefit from all of this? The benefit is to feel at any given moment the good state. And what will happen later, I don't care. As long as I feel good now, that's it. That's how it should be. And it's written about a person that his eyes are in his head, that he can't see the future. He is concerned more with the future than in the present, because the kelim that are have the sight for the future are unlimited. They're not like the ones that are for now, for present. Therefore, one who is truly worthy of advancement, for him, the future is very important. And for him, he specifically prefers to be concerned with the future more than with the present. That's how we are built, with those that are with a point in the heart. And those that don't have a point in the heart, they're adhered in their lives like a beast, and they can't really discuss in any importance about some future or importance. What?
First of all, the words of Rav settle in me, and from here I get a question. In the article, he says that the spirit of man rises upwards, meaning to the past. This doesn't really fall into place with what you just said. So why is the up the past? Up seems to me the future, like what you just said, that we rise in the sense of spirituality to a better future, more corrected.
So I will add for you, the whole point for us that we, how should we say this? The whole point of us advancing towards the purpose of creation is returning to the point we've come from, to Malchut of Ein Sof. That's why the fact that we're learning the whole cascading, look what's written in the Wisdom of Kabbalah, the cascading of all the worlds, the Sfirot, Parzufim, lights and Kilim. Why? Because by that we know how we return to there. But when we return to that, to there, we ourselves return there with the proceeding out of our desire. Not that we have the forces, but by our desires awakening the upper, called raising man, and then it raises us. Therefore, you have eaten the old known thing. And you have no choice but to know your past and to make from it all the corrections so that you will now be able to rise to it and to be in the same degree that you were once in the past, but now by putting your desire before it.
When Bala Sulam says you're to look at the past like a mirror in order to correct, that's okay, and there's no problem with that. But about the future, and you also said it in the lesson, in the previous lesson, that the ego in the first state, you said that only in the third state do we reach the great ego. In the, it's from the introduction to the book of Zohar.
Gimel and Dalet are the vessels of reception.
So, anyway, our future state is after we look. We can only see reality from the thought of creation.
Sir, listen, first of all, a little bit more patience. You're studying, so a little bit more patience. Hold back and be like everyone. That's the first thing, I'm sorry. But, and the second thing, I already told you that you cannot advance to the future without knowing your past, because we are returning to the same point of Malchut of Ein Sof, to the same state of Ein Sof, and all our work is to be similar to work towards the purpose of creation, and we take examples from there, and by that we assimilate ourselves to the upper. That's why Adam is Adame, I'm similar to the Creator. We need to know all those degrees, because all the degrees that we have advanced in so far, we now need to learn how to be similar to all those forms that we've been through on our own, so that we will acquire these qualities, and that is our correction. Please.
We'll continue in the bottom of this page. Imagine, for example, that some historic book were to be found today, describing the last generations 10,000 years from now. As we feel, the lesson of the suffering and torments will certainly be enough to reform them in a good manner. And these people have before them good orders, sufficient to provide certainty and complacency, and at the very least to guarantee their daily lives in peace and quiet. There's no doubt that if some sage would offer us this book about the wisdom of policy and personal conduct, our leaders would seek out every counsel to arrange life accordingly, and there would be no outcry in our broad places. Corruption and terrible suffering would cease, and everything would come peacefully to its place.
It's clear, yes, that if we were to find the book that would explain to us how the world behaves and what's happening with people, in what way they exist, and why they're going through such states, where humanity is developing towards, how it can arrange itself in a better way, then of course everyone would get along and it would be organized that way. But there is no such book. Meaning, if animals receive an operation on behalf of nature in the right way, and there's no problem in that, an animal knows, it doesn't make mistakes. It knows exactly what to do. The forces of nature operate on it 100%. Hence, what happens to it must happen. It doesn't have to go this way or that way or to do this or to do that. It only seems to us like it's like that. But in an animal, it is all measured and clear each and every time, even if it's about to go and die now. It's the only way that it has to execute or do, and that's it. Whereas with people, no. People always have two ways. And this is the problem. How we are managed, how we manage ourselves without knowing exactly what's going on. We don't have the instinctive operation like in animals. So therefore, we need an addition, some kind of guidance, a guide, a book of laws, an instruction book, something that will take all those desires that belong to the aspect of the Adam in me, above my beast. There I need to know what to do. And look at what we're trying to do. I need to know what to eat and how to behave and how to build and how to destroy and 1,001 different things. Everything that has to do with the level of man above the beast. And even my beast I ruin. What I eat, all the things I eat, and how I build my relationships with others. I ruin and destroy and destroy and destroy. Why? Because I don't have that guidebook, that instruction book. And then he says that you can find such a book. Yes, okay.
Now, distinguished readers, this book lies here before you in the closet. It states explicitly all the wisdom of statesmanship and the conducts of the private and public life that will exist at the end of days, meaning the books of Kabbalah. In it, the corrected worlds that emerged with perfection are set. As it says, perfection emerges first from the Creator. Then we correct it and come to the perfection existing in the upper world, emerging from Ein Sof, infinity, as in the end of an act is in the initial thought. Because the incomplete extends gradually from the complete, and there is no absence in the spiritual, they all remain existing and depicted in their complete perfection, in particular and in general, in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Open these books, and you will find all the good orders that will appear and at the end of days. And you will find within them the good lesson by which to arrange mundane matters today as well. For we can learn from the past, and by that correct the future.
Clear? The books are there. We just need to learn them, understand them, and to see how we are going to organize our lives accordingly. It is certain that by that we will not err in our lives, and our lives will be assured to be safe and good. And that's what the books of Kabbalah promise us, under the condition that we learn and implement all that's going on there, all that's there. Yes?
I don't know. No one is interested in such a thing. Who wants to know how to come out of trouble? The world is in terrible trouble. Everyone knows it's in trouble, and everyone's ignoring it. I don't understand. So what does this book help us? So there's a book. So what?
That all depends on the extent of pleasure or sufferings we're going through. Because we are the will to receive. The will to receive pleasure. So if I'm getting pleasure, I enjoy. And if I don't receive pleasure, I suffer. But in place of that, I may even receive suffering, meaning a minus, not zero. And then I seek how to run away from those sufferings. Not how to get to the pleasure, but at least run away from the suffering. There is plus to zero and then to the minus in this whole scale. So, if you were to say, well, I don't care what's talked about here, it doesn't have anything to do with it. If it doesn't touch my skin, who cares? Who cares about the books and what does it have to do with me? But if I start suffering, then I start seeking how to stop suffering as much. I either seek drugs, or I get some other medicine to calm me down, or I go to die. Or, you know, finish with this whole matter. Or I have no choice, I have to find a solution. So, do you have any other options? Please. I'll be the first that'll be happy to hear.
Let's take a simple example. Everyone knows smoking is bad. There is so many proof that smoking is bad. It shortens your life.
No. No, I'm not certain.
You're not sure?
No, and that's why I smoke.
Exactly, that's the whole thing. Until you experience the suffering.
So that's the degree of sufferings that he has to go through.
So that's what I'm saying. What does the book help if I don't suffer? It doesn't help me.
So the Creator, through the Kabbalists, prepared the books for you. And the book will also arrange for you suffering. And then you will want to come to the books and to find out what I can do in order to not suffer.
Meaning all the books Bala Sulam talks about are not in order to prevent you from the suffering, rather after you have the suffering.
On the contrary, they're waiting for you to suffer. Otherwise, how will you open the books?
Okay, so that's it.
That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah, as it was revealed there, Rabbi Shimon and his friends, was concealed and now it's being revealed. Because the sufferings that occurred back then were not sufficient. Now the sufferings have increased. They have rolled down here and gathered throughout the years. And now we exist in such problems that we will be able to want to open the books.
Is there a way to prevent the suffering?
Yes, your dissemination. If you disseminate, then it's possible that it'll be easier for them to understand how they can prevent the suffering. They will suffer a little, but oy, and that's enough for them in order to open the book. Whereas without your dissemination, without the book being near them, it could take a lot of time and horrible problems.
So that's the reason Bala Sulam wrote the book.
That's the reason he wrote it, and we're disseminating it. And it doesn't matter that they're shouting at us and don't want us and they're cursing us. It doesn't matter. The time will come. You know, it's the sorrow. It's called the sorrow of raising sons. The time will come that they'll say, thank God we have this book, these books, that we have this material, that the internet is flooded with this and immersed with all this. But the time being, this is what we have. Yes.
What I have to take from the introduction as to the content is that there is a method, there are books which are the authority and they show us how to come from our state to a better state.
Yes.
How can we explain this to a person, a fellow person? First of all, he'll tell you that that's how humanity evolves. We always learn from the past, and the reason for our crisis.
I have no excuses for a person who wants to hear excuses. I am not going to convince anyone. You're coming to me as if with a demand. How will we do? I don't want to do anything. I am used to my whole life, basically, to receive sick people, needy people. They come and ask. And it's not that I'm coming to them beforehand. They need to feel bad. And then, I don't want them to suffer just like that. God forbid. But even if it's just a little change that will give them the direction of where to get the medicine, which is our books.
Bringing this closer to a person outside, how can we...
We'll wait for the bad.
No, not for bad.
I'm saying seriously, because sometimes you look at a child and you see you have no way to explain it to him, and you say, well, it's good that he gets a blow. Then he'll know, and then he'll be able to explain it to him, and he will learn. Sometimes we need that too. There's no choice. We're like that. We're lazy with ourselves. Don't we feel that way also? If I won't get some kind of like an awakening of sorts or something, then what will be with me? Then I'll sit without doing a thing.
How can we make it an attractive way for a person that these books, these writings of the last generation, there's the whole thing, without blows?
No, without blows, it's impossible. That addition, I don't agree with. We are working with the will to receive, the desire to enjoy. It's the matter of creation, and there's nothing but a side of it. If a person doesn't suffer, you can't come to him and talk to him. He doesn't hear. There needs to be a hole, a deficiency. Then he will hear. Ah, yeah, yeah. Now say more. Maybe more. Maybe more. It's according to the suffering.
Can we give examples when we use a kind of, when we use this as a manual and this
completely?
Helps?
Completely, no.
Not completely, but at least a line of thought. We always say that a child...
So we go to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah. We go to them and tell them that it's worthwhile through the education of children, through all kinds of things, through health, no matter what you want. We're doing that through this seemingly small troubles. But nevertheless, you need to go to a person according to his lack. Even if the deficiency is a little kind of inclining towards the wisdom of Kabbalah, because that's how we would like to get to them. But it has to be a deficiency on their behalf. Otherwise, they don't look at you. It's like talking to a cat. Well, yes.
So there's a deficiency, humanity is suffering, and you have the books. And we know there's the book, which is the truth. No one has such a book.
Yes.
Now we want to somehow connect the sufferings of humanity to this book, which is the solution. We're advancing in the explanations, like in the campus, we give great examples that explain very complicated things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking a simple thing. This introduction, depends on the ability of a person to receive this as an authority. How can we connect this book in practical examples that a person can say, yeah, there are such things. We did 1, 2, 3, and the situation got improved. We took it from the past.
Wait. You're getting confused. To explain is one thing, and to show an example that it succeeds is another.
Showing an example.
Yes. You're already saying, where did we take 1, 2, 3? We take it, and that's already something else. That, too, we can explain in the form of circles. That by that, we can improve the relationships between people. But again, I'm saying, we need to continue. To continue, to explain, to go out to the broad public. There's no choice. Moskva.
A question from Dmitry from Moscow. Dmitry Bernikov. Who is closer to the Creator? Altruists who wish to help everyone, or politicians, cheaters, thieves?
Close to the Creator is considered close according to equivalence of form. Hence, one who does acts of bestowal like the Creator towards us and then reveals Him to the extent in which He bestows, then he's close. We don't have any other way to measure closeness to the Creator. He explains this to us according to the law of equivalence of form. About politicians and those kind of people, we don't talk about, because these are people that are managed by their will to receive, which are not bad or good. They're all similar to beasts. The whole world, the entire world, are like beasts. It's not bad, it's not good. On a human level, we can say, yes, they're bad, there are those that are bad, and there's those that are good on a human level. But in truth, the whole world is simply like a herd that is managed by the upper force. We need to see from the whole world only those people that have a point in the heart, or that the point in the heart could start to awaken, for then we can draw them to the act, to our actions that can advance them and all of humanity. But in essence, our main thing is to lead all of humanity, that all of humanity would want to follow us because they're suffering and they don't know how to get out of the suffering. And they're despaired from not being able to get out of the suffering. This is what he's telling us here, Bala Sulam. and then they need a shepherd. And then they will follow the shepherd. So who is this shepherd? Those Bnei Baruch is the shepherd that we're organizing now. The big group all over the world and all the countries and all the continents. So we will have representatives there in all the languages that will be able to explain to people that will be very despaired from in a state where there is no hope and no remedy. And then they will hear what we're saying. And then they will understand that it's logical and that there is only one action that through which we can succeed, which is an act of bestowal. That's it. That's how we progress. Do you want to finish, please?
A call for the chosen ones to study Kabbalah. I, the writer, know myself and my place, and I am not among the finest in the human species. And if one, such as me, today has labored and found all this in the books concealed within our cabinets, there is not a shadow of doubt that if the chosen ones in the generation delve in these books, so much of the happiness and bounty will be available for them and for the entire world.
Meaning, he is certain that through the books of Kabbalah, we can reach all the good there is.
My voice that is in the shofar, in the horn, why has it come? I have seen all that, and I can no longer restrain myself. I have resolved to disclose of my observations and of what I found written in those books regarding the conducts of the correction of our definite future. And I go out and call upon the people of the world with this horn. I do believe and estimate that it shall suffice to gather all the chosen ones to begin to study and delve in the books, so they may sentence themselves and the entire world to a scale of merit.
Again, he is certain that there is no more time for the world, and these books, his writings, and in general, the writings of Kabbalah must spread amongst everyone to be understood and close to everyone, because through them, we can come to the state of good. Yes.
Okay, the tens that were us today is 10 number 2 in Moscow, the Caribbean, Hungary, Carmiel, and 10 number 5 from Petah Tikva. And our daily task is that every friend notices all the opportunities the Creator gives him to nullify before the 10 throughout the day, and he writes down how many times he was successful in that and how many times he wasn't. Again, every friend notices all the opportunities the Creator gives him to annul before the 10. He writes down how much he was able to do it and how much he wasn't able to nullify.
Good. That sounds like serious homework. To annul towards the 10? That means you need to constantly be doing calculations, how this is and why this is and where it is, what am I towards them, who are they, who am I annulling for, who is this 10 that I'm annulling towards, what is the annulment expressed as, how do I measure this, how do I not forget this, how am I in such a connection with them so that they will constantly think about me and see me. That's a matter of our vut between us, and so on and so forth. How I, in the connection with them, come to the Creator and obligate Him. Truly obligate Him to be the guarantor, for Him to make sure that I don't forget. Because in me, for sure, there is nothing. What does it mean I don't have anything? In me, there's for sure everything that he gives. So if I don't ask him to give me to be in connection with the society, he'll give me all the other things so that I will then discover how much I nevertheless need that connection, and the connection will bring me to him. So in order to not disperse in all directions, we need to understand that we need to approach the society. I need to depict myself as connected to them, and I need to depict myself as we are all together in this, and I'm praying for them, and I'm praying to the Creator for Him to hold on to that connection between us. Will strengthen and bind that connection between us. And here, one who, as it's written, one who prays for his friend merits first. As I demand for them how I hold them, that will hold me. I cannot hold myself. To pray for myself, I can't. It doesn't work. The Creator does not accept that kind of an appeal. But if I am concerned for them and ask the Creator to care for us all, and as it's, as we say in the end of a prayer, and on us, as we add to the prayer, then it happens. Well, let's hope that we will manage to collect that appeal correctly. Think about it. It doesn't matter how you are. There's room for seeking the letters, each of his own. And today is Thursday, in which they say that at 6:30 in the evening we will have a Zohar lesson. Yes?
Yes.
And everyone is invited. I don't hear that you are so satisfied.
And this we conclude. Thank you to all our TV viewers. Have a good day. An open Friday. Friends from all over Israel and watchers of Channel 66, come join us to a special lesson tomorrow, 2:45 a.m. Before you come, please call 1-700-509-209. Now we're going to sing a song.
How good to be together with you. How good to be together with you. How good to be together with you. To be forever, yeah. To be forever with you. Need each other to survive. Together we can feel alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. Need each other to survive. Together we can be alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives. Voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives. Voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. Oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah.
How good to be together with you. How good to be together with you. How good to be together with you.
To be forever, yeah. To be forever with you. Need each other to survive. Together we can feel alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. Need each other to survive. Together we can be alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives. Voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives. Voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. Na, na.